Gary from LA.
Hello, BBS Radio.
Yep, and thank you for joining us. We're still receiving calls coming in to the conference call. It's been a beautiful evening. All right, we've had other callers come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hello, this is Edna from Snohomish, Washington.
Welcome, Edna.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Edna.
Hi.
Hi, Edna. This is Dwayne in Snohomish.
Hi, Dwayne. How are you?
No, I'm good.
All right. Is there anyone else who'd like to say their name and location?
Hi, it's Susan in Delaware.
Hello, hello.
Hello,
how are you?
Susan. Welcome.
Is that Marilyn Kowalski?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Marilyn. Have you been helping
tonight?
Hello,
Wayne. Hello, Wayne. Am I what?
Don't mix me up with Wayne, okay?
caller come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Nancy in Michigan here.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much. Hope everybody's doing great.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. All right. Would you like to say your name and location, please?
Only if you want to.
Oh, that's a good one.
Who was that? Was that Lisa?
No, that was Teresa.
Teresa. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. How are you doing, Wynn?
Teresa's pretty close to Lisa, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Rhymes with. I think we're almost ready to start. But Terry's not here, is she?
No, Terry has not checked in yet.
Mm-hmm.
You are sounding nice and clear, Wynn.
I'm nice and clear?
Yes, you're nice and clear. Or you're clear and nice.
Thank you.
I don't know about that.
I'm sorry, I had to do it.
And he has a sexy voice like Dwayne, so I don't know.
Yeah, she's charged a sexy voice.
Say that again. Say that again, Lucy. Did I hear the word sexy?
Yeah.
Dwayne have a sexy voice, and you have a sexy voice too, so it's easy to get messed up sometimes.
Dwayne and I both have sexy voices.
Yes.
And you're clear and nice too. Yeah.
I wouldn't call me nice. I could say I was clear.
I wouldn't call him nice either.
Well, I was being nice.
No,
he's a meanie.
Is Terry here?
Yes, yep. I am.
Who's Terry?
That's Jim, isn't it?
It sounds like Gary, but it's Terry. Oh. And I'm not Terry. No, sorry.
That's okay.
That sounds like Gary.
We're glad to have you anyway.
Hey, thank you. Nice to be here.
Would anybody else like to say their name and location?
I think I got the wrong number.
Why?
No, you're not.
Awful lot of flattery going on here.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so nice and sweet, and you have such a great voice. You know what happens when flatterers meet?
Oh,
they leave the room.
Well,
we've had another caller come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Name and location.
Oh, there's Terry. Terry's here. I just saw Terry.
Oh, good. Welcome, Terry. Glad you're here.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. It's Sedona Jim here.
All right, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, thank you.
Jim, they're taking inventory on everybody's voice and deciding who sounds sexy.
All right. We've had other callers come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hey, this is Don in Superior, Wisconsin.
Hey, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hello.
You living high as a vacation? Hello.
All right. Would anyone else like to say their name and location?
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris. Welcome to the call.
Hey, thank you.
Chris, are you being good?
Yeah, actually, well, man, I just got out of the hospital. You know, they started me on some insulin for you know, I was just taking pills, and I had an allergic reaction to Lantus, and my throat closed up, and I broke out of the thing, so mm-hmm. I had to go to the hospital, and they had to watch me, they had to give me Benadryl and put me in breathing
oh, good.
Oxygen, but I'm okay now. They're gonna just have
what
to
did you have a reaction to?
Insulin, Lantus, so.
Is that a synthetic or something?
You know, I'm not quite sure if,
like a
you know,
pharmaceutical thing? Or?
Yeah, just some insulin, yeah. I know they have, you know, some of it's kind of pig insulin or something, yeah, I'm not sure, but I have to go to the regular doctor tomorrow and try a different kind, but they're going to have a nurse do it, and they're going to kind of watch me, so.
Oh. Okay.
Well, Chris, better, you're much better. I've been through that kind of hard stuff.
Not easy.
Anybody listening tonight for the first time, no. Because you know what? It's only going to, the emails are only going to the regulars. No one's listening for the first time, are they? No.
I have not heard of any.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, that's going to change. You wait and see.
Oh, no.
Very near future.
My son's getting married.
Your son?
Yeah.
You don't sound mature enough to have a son.
You sound like you're about 20.
Well, yeah. Well, he's 19. He's going to school. He's in Oklahoma City. He's going to school. He was going to join the Navy, but I kind of, you know, talked to him about it. And so he's going to
school. Right. Well, listen, let's get on with the call. And let me just say, hey, you know, before I start recording, I just mention that I discovered a service. I can't remember what it's called. God. It's in another country. I think it's from Iceland, maybe. I think it's in Iceland. And they're doing chat rooms, and you can sign up for it. And it's not in any area where you can be tracked. So I'm, like, thinking of setting up some kind of room there where people can talk to each other and feel some sense of anonymousness. And let me know if you like that idea. Because as most of you probably know, except for the fact that the computers are all broke down, you know, there's a whole big computer system in Salt Lake City. It's run by, you know, that part of the government that got discovered by that guy that left the country that was keeping tabs of everybody's emails and phone calls for years. So this is a good way to talk to each other and connect with each other and have and feel some sense of anonymity, which I think is kind of important. Now, I hope it's true. Iceland has very liberal policy about freedoms and protecting freedoms. Now, who is that? I've got to mute everybody so we don't get those things in there. Just a second. Star. Okay. And certainly we have to pay some attention to that stuff. Some attention. We're not a political organization. We're not talking about ETs very much. But nonetheless, you know, we're still, it's good. If you can have a choice of being anonymous, it's good. And I wanted to say that before I started recording, because it's probably controversial just that I say that. Okay. So, here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 23rd, 2013. And this is Lynn and Terry in Sedona. And we thank Donna in Montana for greeting everybody Well, Heise's car is out of commission. And Donna, I got to tell you, you did a great job. Your energy was really good. You were had the right attitude with people. So thank you. Thanks for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I got an interesting email today, or a couple days ago, and it's like somebody was asking questions about Team Shift, and they couldn't get an answer to it. And then they sent an email to me. They said, why is this all so secret? You know, it was like implying that we have some kind of covert thing going on here, and that we're keeping secrets, and we're not telling everybody everything. And the interesting thing is that I do my best to keep things decentralized, to not have hierarchy, to let and allow things happen and grow spontaneously. But when something goes wrong, or when someone is out of balance, or in my opinion, this is where it's my judgment call, I have to make the call, if something is destroying the ambience of the group, I have to come in and say no. And, you know, that is power. It is power, and power is not wrong. Power is just, you're not supposed to deny your second chakra and your third chakra to get to your fourth chakra. In other words, if you just have your fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh chakras open, and you don't have your lower chakras open, you end up being a space case. And it's like it's very hard to ground something into the world. People just say, I like being around you, you're pleasant, you know, but nothing gets grounded. And to ground, for something to ground, you need the lower chakras open. And it's easier said than done, but nonetheless, it's not wrong to have your lower chakras open. It's not wrong to take power when it's appropriate. It's not wrong to have sex when there's intimacy and connection. And if you don't have that, at least to have the free willing agreement of everybody to say that we're doing this and it's, you know, there's no agendas. And then things can change or they may not. But it's not wrong to survive. It's not wrong to do things and make money. I mean, it's part of survival. And so, if I come in like a ton of bricks with second chakra energy, and some of you have heard me do that, that is not because I desire to do it. It's because some part of me is clicked in to say that we need protection right now. And, earlier on, you know, say 5 or 6 years ago, when I had no idea how to do this, and truthfully, I didn't want to do it. I mean, I ended up doing it. It was like I'm in the middle of it and just kept moving and moving and moving and moving. But it's not the way that I would have, in my own mind, created it, you know. But it is the way it is, and I'm not fighting it. And neither is Terry. I mean, but somebody will always look and say, when you're on an ego trip, when you shouldn't have done that, when you shouldn't have shut that person up, when this, when that. I'm not saying I always make perfect decisions. I may not. But I would rather make an error in being protective than letting things happen. Because it's easier to stay out of something than get out of it. Now, somebody's going to say, well, what about free will? How come everyone can't do what they want? Well, you know what? I think this is a good explanation here, that it's pretty clear how that works. Free will If somebody walks into your living room and wants to take a pee on your plant, and you come out and say, please don't do that. And they say, what about free will? You have to say, this is my living room, and you can go do what you want outside of my living room. But when you're in my living room, there is got to be a certain protocol. And since it's my living room, then I'm the one to set the protocol. And so in this group, it's kind of like a living room. And, I mean, I'm pretty loose. I don't even want to be tough. But if I need to be, I need to be. And I have to make sure nobody's peeing on the plants to the best of my ability. Another thing is I have to, you know, in this person that emailed and was saying, I want to know this, I want to know that, he was asking, like, for example, how many team shift groups are there? Where are the people located? How many people are in team shift? Now, why in the world does somebody want to know that? It makes me mistrust their intent, you know? Now, Team Shift is a pretty innocent organization, but one of the things about it is I don't even know the answers because I turn it over to somebody and they're managing it and I don't pay attention to it. And it's been working and it's helping people and it doesn't need my attention. And I don't want to be, I do my best not to create a circumstance where people think I have to be present for spirit to be present, because it's not true. But in the beginning stages of learning about this, sometimes people need to depend on me a little bit to hold the space until they get the vibration, and because it takes time. And you know, you come into this call, and you don't even know what's going on. I mean, you heard something about it, you read a book, but to really figure it out, you can't explain it. I mean, you can try, but you can't explain it logically because it's not logical. It's about feeling energies. It's about connecting energies. And you can't do that out of your willpower. You do that out of, you know, we have a good question tonight from Don Herman. And let me see. Did I put all those questions in? Yeah. Just, you know, and he said, what does let go and let God mean? And this is, you know, truthfully, if you're paying attention to our work, then you probably note that there's a lot of things that are said here that are somewhat at odds with some of the conventional ways that people look at things. And there's a lot of evidence that we might be right in the way we look at things. But you know what? I can't tell that to someone. Someone has to go, because it's something that threatens someone's reality system, I am not going to be the one to say your reality system is wrong. In fact, it probably is not wrong. In fact, most reality systems are right. It's just that there are overarching umbrellas. This is my way of looking at it, like over reality, overarching umbrellas over reality systems. So there's a bigger reality system that smaller ones fit into. And then there's a bigger one than that that those fit into, and there's a bigger one than that. And this is actually going up the sacred geometry ladder, going up to source. And so from my experience, we have a pretty big reality system here. But somebody has to discover that for themselves. I mean, if I say we have a big book reality system, and if somebody says, well, I'm going to believe what Wynn says because he says it's a bigger reality system, then you're not doing it the right way. Each of you has to do your own work and apply this, get your own resonance, and figure it out and see how this all works for you, because this is not about a belief system. This is about applying higher principles of the universe and shifting your own reality system, expanding your awareness, expanding your consciousness, expanding your connection with Source. And there's no way I can tell you how to do any of those things. It's nonlinear. All I can do is show up, and that you show up, and that we're in a process together. And many of you have experienced amazing things as a result of being in this process. And I've experienced learning that, oh my God, it seems like it might be working, because it's like out of my league to know how this works. So I have to keep proving it to myself by the experience, by the changes people have, by the growth people have. And it's just very free will, and so many of you have had such amazing experiences and have shared them. And some of you have had phenomenal experiences, and some of you have had synchronicities, and some of you have had healings. And, you know, the hard part on my end is putting this out and putting out this amazing hope, because, you know, it does create hope, and then people thinking that I am the dispenser of all the solutions, which I'm not. And I'm just, you know, Carla would say we're all just bozos on this boat, but I'm just the bozo that is stuck in 3D just like you are, that when there's pain, my body hurts, whatever. And I've had these experiences, and I've been kind of like a detective following them through and seeing where it leads. And here we are. So thank you for being here, and thank you. You have all been a major part of my growth, because I have watched how you have grown, how you have changed, and that validates it. It says all this that we're doing is really worthwhile. It's really making a difference. And I know Terry experiences that as well. Maybe I should give her, before we start the session tonight, let her say something in that respect.
I was in the channeling mode here, and so I had to come back. And it's like I have to go into the channeling mode to answer, I think. They're
okay,
all ready
you don't
to
have,
go.
You don't have to come back, okay? We'll just go
okay.
into it, okay? All right. Okay. So we do have some interesting questions tonight. And most of you know this is the evening where you submit questions and we ask our sources. Our sources say they're group souls. They say they're at a very high dimension. They say they can flow energy into this realm in a way that we can feel it. They say they're with us on the line. They say they're paying attention to each of you. That want attention being paid. They're making a connection. And all of that stuff is totally unprovable, except by your own personal experience and validation. So on that note, we're going to call in the light, and we're going to ask some questions. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources ready and open to giving us the greeting?
This is Rod. This is the 23rd of October, 2013. And we take a moment and we orient ourselves to planet Earth and to the audience, to those of you who wish to be touched, communicated with. We send our frequencies. We are a free will agency, so we do not send it unless you wish. And asking can bring you into contact with us. We are aware of your question concerning the meaning of that goal and that God. We do not mean for you to lose your own control. We do not mean for you to be taken over by another force. We mean for you to let up on your narrowed down focus for even for an instant, and open yourself to all of the other possibilities or some of the other possibilities that are available to you. For instance, if you just have a focus in a narrow area, say the area of wanting to be healed of a certain malady, this is very good. However, if you can then, while having this tremendous desire to be healed, to change your focus slightly so that you still really want to be healed, but to open up the aperture of your focus to be able to see the frequencies that are available to you to bring abundance to you, to bring healing to you. This can help with your healing. So it is not to allow yourself to be taken over, but you remaining in control to open up to other possibilities that the universe is there and waiting to bring to you to help you with your fulfillment in a bigger way than you may have thought or even than hoping for. We hope that helps, and thank you. That is a very good question.
Thank you, Don. And, you know, I wanted to say from my own perspective, it's, I think, what we do on these shows. If you notice, we show up, and Terry and I and Carla and even Hive have learned to sit in the middle of a certain kind of neutrality so that we don't have to do the show. And I guess when we first started, I was thinking, I got to prepare this. What am I going to talk about? And the more we went, the less important that became. And in fact, that even became kind of a negative. Because when we jump in and there's no agenda and we're letting go, that's when the energies come in. And otherwise, there would be something holding it in a more contracted space or being more entertaining, which some of you know, I used to be an entertainer. So coming in on a call like this and telling jokes or my past or whatever, I mean, usually that's in the context of sharing something, not just entertaining. But when that happens, it's part of it just being neutral. And one of the things is that we created a venue where we could do this. Many times in your life, when you say let go and let God, you haven't created a venue for that to occur. And you have to think, what kind of venue could I create that the higher forces of the universe could come in, okay? And it might be doing a prayer meditation session every day and seeing if you can shift the energies. I did this a long time ago. I used to do that, and I found that I could shift my energies when I did that, when I was out of balance. And learning how to get the discipline of bringing the higher energies in more on demand. But you're not really doing it on demand. It's not you're doing it out of willpower. It's that you're doing it out of neutrality. You're doing it out of letting go, emptying yourself of all the other stuff. And so it can come in and fill you. It's kind of a paradox because letting go and letting God sounds like you're giving up your power, but you're not. Letting go and participating with God, being a co-creator with God, being recognizing the part of you that is part of all that is, and creating venues in your life that force that quality to come in. Just as we have done on these calls, we created a venue that if that quality didn't come in, the venue wouldn't work. Call would be boring. And so next question. Let me just see if they have anything to add on my comments.
You're getting very good.
That was I'm getting
very good observation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now, Edna, we have talked a lot. If you've heard the calls, we talked about Enki and Leo genetic manipulations that took place on this planet, that humans were a product of genetic manipulation. And apparently, genetic manipulation is a fairly standard operating procedure in this universe, and that there are higher beings, sometimes negative, sometimes positive, sometimes mixed, but that have the knowledge of DNA and genes to manipulate things. And some of you may have read in the time of Ratha and Edgar Cayce, Ratha was an early incarnation of Edgar Cayce, there were all these human-animal hybrids. And this is, I believe, how we've gotten things like mermaids or centaurs or different half-human and half-animal. And very likely, I'm not sure of this, but likely was the result of genetic manipulation. And there's one kind of genetic manipulation where they're trying to create a superhuman, super smart, super strong, super advanced. And then they want to use superhumans to control other humans, which turns it negative, okay? And then there's another kind of genetic manipulation that tries to keep people's DNA from opening up so that they're enslaved, essentially, and they have a hard time growing. And a lot of people on this planet, if not the majority, have been involved in being in situations that have kept them contracted, and they don't know they're contracted. This is where the problem is. You know, if you're enslaved in a jail or you're behind bars, then it's pretty obvious you're contracted. But with humans, there's certain illusions of freedom, and then it's contracted, though. They're not really free, and they're still stuck in reincarnation, but they don't understand it, and they think they're okay. And so until a person gets to the point where they are reaching and where they're asking questions, then you just have to let everyone go on their track. So Edna's question is, I have, now I'd like to tell our sources that they can comment on anything I said up there. In fact, maybe I should let them comment before I ask Edna's question, because I thought I said quite a bit of stuff, and it's an interesting topic, genetic manipulation and its impact on the universe and the different sources. And I think I'd like to let them comment on that before I ask Edna's question. Thank you.
Thank you. This is part of the learning process and the creative process that individuals have gone through over many millions of years and billions of years even. The effort to see what one can genetically create. It can result in unintended results. For instance, the development of monster spiders to protect a castle or a property. And then the individuals that have been so commandeered to take part in that, the entities, they are programmed to be on a certain track. And then millions of years later, they are forgotten. And they are going on to genetically produce as spiders, which are not connected with other species so much as to do what they were originally programmed to defend the turf. So there are divisions or great sections of beings that are so programmed and are learning at a lower rate and lower level and are essentially reactive. There are hopes in some societies with genetic manipulation to produce the superhuman, and there are attempts going on at this time on planet Earth to produce humans that have super hearing or that do not have to breathe so much. There are many failures, and they hope to achieve a result. These are some of the things that are going on. The individuals that have been commandeered into these areas can be worked with and brought back to their original, innocent, loving, creative So they, in a number of cases, are moving down a track that is so perpetuating and creating a defensive or aggressive point of view. They, through millions of years, will tend to die out, and the beings will tend to reorient and move back into a more loving, connected space. You are correct when you talk about Atlantis and the genetic experience and the programming of bodies, mixing of foreign DNA to produce a body that is some sort of a mixture, that is an attempt to produce a superhuman or a different kind of human, or to give the sensory perceptions of animals to a human experience. When this went on in Atlantis, it took a lot of work to move the species thus developed back into the human, and to work the individual thus affected. Those are comments.
Thank you. One question I would like to add or ask is, we obviously live in a world with incredible variations. We have all these beautiful flowers. We have all these different races. We have all these different animals. We have birds with such beautiful feathers. And, you know, there's a common idea of Darwinism that says survival of the fittest, and that's how things evolve. To me, it doesn't seem that it's possible to have all these variations, these incredible variations, dogs, cats, all so unique and so expressive of the spirit inside of them all, that at some point it was the product of a huge amount of genetic manipulation and creation, and probably not from the Elohim source, but maybe so. Could you expand on that a little bit, how we have all these incredible variations and the connection between the Darwinian theory and genetic manipulation? And creation from the, I should say three things. The Darwinian theory, genetic manipulation by beings on this realm, and genetic manipulation by the Elohim, which I don't understand how that works, but from where they are to here, I'm sure has some impact on everything. Thank you.
When one looks at the whole area, one sees that one can make, as what has been done, bodies more to the specifications of what they're seeking. For instance, the emperors of China raised dogs that were smaller and could be lap dogs or could be companion, but not too big, and the Chinese and other races, by putting what has already been present together with other things that have been present, are able to develop genetically a dog that is more to the liking of the people. There is that level of genetic manipulation. Then there is the wild genetic manipulation of some of the space people who are desperately trying to save their own kind and are trying to put together a race that is a combination of other races, a hybrid race, wherein they can begin to revitalize their own race, which is becoming extinct due to lack of ability to digest or to live in certain atmospheres. They are finding things that they have bred into their race in the past are not really helpful. For instance, the attempt to breed out emotions so that when one comes into the body as a spirit, they come into the body and then they find that they cannot experience emotions while they're in the body that they could experience before they went into the body because of the nature of breathing out emotions. Emotions are very important towards how to interact, how to get across, how to express, how to tell whether one is in the best posture or moving forward, or if there is resistance, or if there is something in contradiction to one's belief that then creates emotions to create a flag for them to further review what is going on and also to protect themselves. So this desire to read out emotions does not really serve the race and helps to create a race that cannot survive as well.
When we look at all the flowers on Earth, who was it that genetically created the flowers? Was that the Anunnaki? Was it various groups?
It was various groups. For instance, if you take corn and you take over thousands of years, the South Americans genetically took grass and then raised the grass, weeding out the grass that they did not feel would bring them the type of final product that they wished, until the grass that was produced made fantastic corn, ears of corn, things that could be made into cornmeal, could be used to sustain the people. And then over the years, Monsanto is now genetically altering again the corn to bring corn that has a pesticide element with it. This is one of the ways over the ages through farming and through careful genetic development of plants that things have been brought about. Dudley Nightshade is a relative of the tomato plant, and the Dudley Nightshade is poison, but the tomato is not. And tomatoes have been cultivated, blueberries, little tiny wild blueberries were made into tame blueberries to make bigger and bigger berries. So over time, different people, different farmers, different people in charge of agriculture have set a trend to make certain things. There are wild herbs that people have forgotten about that can be used, that thousands and millions of years ago were developed to use to help sustain the human body. These tend to be not accidental, although crossing of different groups can create anomalies like the killer bees and the honeybees. Crossing then creates a very hostile honeybee. Some things do not work out, and when one crosses borders and mixes what they're doing, they can get untoward results. But many of the flowers, if they were not cross-pollinated within the wild and were cultivated by the Indians and the people before the Indians, then would bring forth at that time for that fruit, 15, that was helpful for the survival of that fruit.
Thank you. So Edna's question is has to do with, I have a lot of emotions when I hear about genetic manipulations that took place in Atlantis. I want to know if I was fighting against it at the time.
Thank you. Your attention is on fighting against it. And your attention is very much upon the time of Atlantis. Let your thoughts flow. Let your imagination and pictures show what is there to pick up, and that you, as you look at the pictures of Atlantis within your mind, look at the things you did not agree with, and that those things went on anyway, and it was very hard to figure out how to stop them, as you, in your foresight, would see that this was not the way forward for the health of mankind. Some of it was curiosity, some of it was the idea of what is possible, what can we do, or what could be made, and it was frivolous. And take a look, just let your emotions flow and let the anger flow, and then see in the current life what has triggered. That is, there are many similarities with what is going on now, even though the majority of people do not know, there are still things being tried in private. And do not beat yourself up for having failed to stop it. Your wisdom in your views and seeing what you see and predicting outcomes is a very good skill, and pride yourself on that. But do not beat yourself up for what others are unwisely doing.
Thank you. It is 6:54. We got a question from Dave, and wanting to send his cousin some love light. Said he tried yesterday. I'm not going to ask this. We're just sending Dave Fettinger in Grove City, but I'm not going to ask this tonight. We don't have time. We're just sending light to the situation, okay? And question about his sister, and a question from Marilyn about the strand or cord that is connected to our bodies, and a question from Matt about an experience he had with meditating and...
With what?
Meditating. He had an experience of... you know what, I'm not going to say. We'll have to do it next week. So, Matt, all those people, if you're really intent on getting answers to your question, submit it again next week and the week after until I get to it. You know, sometimes...
Centered.
Pardon me?
Centered. These people stay centered within your own, Matt. Stay centered so that you are looking out. And you, within yourself, are yourself, and then and as an observer to these things you are seeing in Maryland. Stay centered, and as you look out, you are looking and observing from a distance. Keep it as a distance. Keep some space there.
Thank you. So, it is now 6:56. We're going to bring this session to a close. Thank you all for being here. Thank our sources for being here. We'll see you Sunday for our planetary healing session. And blessings from now until then to each of you. And just one of the things I said, I just wanted to say it again, is if you want to make the connection, you must create, you know, I mean, really you don't have to, but if you're not feeling the connection, you have to create a venue, and it'll help it occur. A venue, a place for it to occur, a circumstance for it to occur. For example, this is a venue. We have created a venue. I could go into coffee shops for the rest of my life, and it wouldn't be this kind of venue. It's a different venue. It doesn't require the same stuff that this requires. So create something that needs more and see if more comes in. That's the key. If you keep recycling the creations that you already have and nothing is happening, think of where you can create something out of your own box and see what happens. Okay, on that note, we will unmute everybody. You're all unmuted, and except for Dwayne. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne. All at you.
Recycling the creation that you already have. Nothing is happening.
Love light to all. Thank you, Wan. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
a wonderful day.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Michael.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Mike.
Good night.
Your conference recording has stopped.